WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm going to break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to yet another episode of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, which, oh my God, I do! That's right, guys, it's the shameless plug time. Well, I can subscribe for free to this channel. All I have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and hit the subscribe for free button. And hey, just like that, I am subscribed for free for 30 days. Actually, more than 30 days, because this month doesn't have 30 days. So, ha! You get a bonus, guys! Because it's February. Anyway, so go check that out. You can also subscribe the regular way, you can follow the channel, or you can just hang out and chat. We will have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here.
It's Boots the Asses time!
We're live at Wild Talk Radio. Got Lindsay Ward at Rack Radio Show on the Twitter. Interact with us there. Or come to wildtalkradio.com or twitch.tv/TheRichieLive and, you know, talk to us as well. Thanks to Lindsay Ward for subscribing with Prime Gaming for 11 months in a row.
Hey! Guys, it's that easy.
It's that easy that you can do it as she introduces her co-host and has the sound play at the same time.
I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. I hit the button as I was finishing, forgetting that it was going to play. I'm sorry, that was my bad.
That's okay. We're here to talk about the Royal Rumble in full, complete detail tonight.
That's right. I'm excited, guys. We are only talking the Rumble tonight. News, notes, NXT, all the normal stuff that you like rely on for this show will be back next week. We will be taking a break in the middle of the show, though, because there is a lot to discuss. A lot happened.
Just so for people that are listening and want the other segment, like news. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 stories already posted in the news segment for next week.
Yeah, there's a lot of news, and we don't want this to be a 3-hour show. So we are just doing the Rumble. Everything else will return as normal next week. Also, just as a programming note, depending on how long we go, there will probably not be Fortnite with Friends tonight because we are anticipating going past our normal time. I know everybody's so shocked by that. But just to put it out there in advance so everybody's aware, Fortnite with Friends.
No Fortnite with Friends. One other programming note. Next week, we'll be previewing NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day.
So much to discuss.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and then, programming note following that, on the 14th Valentine's Day, we'll be live taking over WTR slot after TakeOver Vengeance Day to review it all.
We're just everywhere, chat. I mean, we are. We're just all over the place.
It's all about the content.
So, speaking of the content, I say we get right into the Royal Rumble.
Before we do that, because it'll play into the Royal Rumble on the pre-show. R-Truth was talking about hunting rabbits because Bad Bunny was on the show.
I wanted to talk about the overall impression and then talk about
but
the
I just wanted to get, I wanted to get that note out there. That's all, before I forgot it, okay? Because I probably would have forgot about it.
Okay.
All right, so you want overall impressions? Is that what you want about the Royal Rumble?
Yes, brought to you by mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211.
A very enjoyable show.
I didn't know what to expect going into this because it's the first Rumble without a crowd. And
definitely missed the crowd.
Definitely missed the crowd. They did their best with the crowd noise and everything like that to make it feel like the Rumble. But the crowd, just the roar, the up and down and the roar of the crowd as things happened, definitely was missed for this show. But overall, I think it was incredibly enjoyable. It was weirdly booked.
But I have one note about the Rumble matches before we get into them. Michael Cole was very scripted.
Yeah, he was.
That's the one thing I hate about the Rumbles in general, which is especially lately, is that they become very scripted with the "oh my" and Cole having 17 facts about them before they even walk up, you know, down the ramp. I wish they'd not give the announcers facts and tell them when the people are coming in because their reaction sounds so fake. That's my only complaint about the show.
Well, and side note too, the Rumbles were rehearsed the day before.
Which is why they had the script.
Yeah. So they kind of knew what was going to happen. There weren't really too many surprises for the announcers, but there were plenty of surprises for us.
Yeah, it didn't take away from my enjoyment of the show. It was just one of those, God, Cole, just shut up.
Right?
It was one of those moments, Cole, just shut up. Let me enjoy this thing that's happening in front of me. Thank you.
Why did you use black on that color? Rock, you know better.
It was default. Default.
Do you not know how to change the default?
I didn't feel like it.
God.
She's complaining about my notes.
Just for the record, he sent me the Rumble order, and he has pink and blue for the men's and the women's, and it's this dark navy blue with black text on it, so
no.
You can't even really see it.
No. Oh, on that side?
Yes.
On my screen, it's white.
No, on my screen, it's blue.
Oh, see, I changed it to white. That one I changed to white. I thought you were complaining about the pink.
No, the pink is fine.
No, the blue
on
my...
It was the black on the blue. You can't see it.
Oh, on my screen, it's white.
Okay.
So it's like, I know I changed something, that one to white. I left the pink on default.
Yeah. No.
Okay. So that's just file transfer things. Mine's blue.
So,
blue and white.
Since we're talking about the pink versus the blue, let's talk about the pink, which was the women's Royal Rumble match. This took place kind of in the middle portion of the show. They did a couple of the other championship matches first. And the reason why we're doing this is we're bookending the Rumbles, where we have one at the beginning and one at the end and everything in the middle.
Hold on. Brent, wasn't producer fail. It's open office fail.
It was producer fail.
No, it's not. Mine's white.
Mine wasn't.
That's not my problem. I sent it.
Did you save it?
Yes.
Producer fail.
Not a producer fail.
Anyway.
So, we found out on WWE Backstage, which is such a reliable source, great to see Renee Paquette back, that Natty beat Tamina to get number 30 in the Rumble. So she was going to be the last one in. But let me get this out. On Backstage, they said Randy Orton was going to be 2, and then Randy Orton was going to be number 1, Edge was going to be number 2. That was misinformation.
They flipped it.
They did. Anyway, go ahead.
Speaking of Natty, before we get into the match.
Yes.
I need to discuss this, and please understand that I mean no offense to her whatsoever. She is a beautiful, gorgeous woman who can do and say and wear whatever she likes. But that being said, what the hell was she wearing? That gold, why that gold? Why did somebody tell her that gold looks good? It doesn't. It completely, and I guess in looking at it in the pictures, like the studio shots, in dimmer lighting, it looks okay, but under the lights for the show, it completely washed out. It washed her out. It just looked awful. Like that, like the pale gold just does not go well with her skin tone. She would have been better served with like a rose gold because it would have shown up better, I feel like.
Her gear was to match Lana's, by the way.
Her gear was to match Lana's, and it needed more black highlights because it had this one, like, or had these little black patent spots on it, but it was pretty much all gold. Like, Lana's version was a lot nicer. It complemented her better because Lana is much tanner than Natty.
Yes.
So she can carry that gold off.
Yeah.
Natty, it all washed out, and it was not a good look for her at all. So somebody please don't let her out in that gold ever again. Anyway, let's talk about the entrance for the Rumble. And coming in at number one and number two, we had Bayley, who shaved Cole in the back of her head and then was very upset that Michael Cole was not calling the women's Rumble.
That was so great. Like, she runs out, she's expecting Cole to be there, and it's Tom Phillips, and then she's just ranting. And like, oh my god, poor Bayley. She did all that to torture Cole, and Cole wasn't even there to get it.
He's laughing backstage.
That was a fail.
That was so good.
We need Bayley versus Cole at WrestleMania. Put the streak on the line, Cole. Do it.
Let Bayley go to the coal mine. And making her long-awaited return was Naomi at number two. She looked absolutely fantastic. She was, pardon the pun, glowing.
It was great to see her back. She will be an added resource to Monday Night Raw going forward in the women's division because they need talent.
Absolutely, but, yeah. And she's just one of the best that they have.
So let's stay on Bayley and Naomi for a moment. These two girls put on a great show. They lasted a while in this one.
Yeah, they did. Actually, all three top entrants did. Which was nice to see that you didn't see the number one and number two get eliminated right away. Like, that's the one thing I will say for this Rumble, actually, for both of them, was it was very nicely paced. Like, it moved. And it was fairly even in terms of the timing.
There were a couple mistimings in terms of one bit was a little extended, but, you know, and that was more in the men's one than the women's one. But it was fine. But as you mentioned, number three was Bianca Belair. And she put on a hell of a show as well, which we'll dive deeper into it here in a moment. But one of the stars of this Royal Rumble is number four.
Billie Kay, who walks out, does her spiel, goes over to the announcer's table and starts calling commentary. And every time somebody came out, she got up, ran over, and tried to hand them her resume and either got beat up, intimidated, or eventually adopted.
The first one was Shotzi, who shot her with the cannon.
Poor Billy.
And then Shayna beat her up.
Toni Storm, who was a nice surprise in the Rumble, ignored her.
But then the biggest surprise at this point in the Royal Rumble.
Sliced bread, guys! Sliced bread!
Jillian Hall. Speaking of sliced bread, which is her theme, the punishment on Up Up Down Down this week was Adam Cole had to sing the song.
Oh, nice. Nice.
In tie-in with her return. It was cool to see her back. Like, you go through all the names and go, oh, they brought her back. Okay, that's cool, because you wouldn't think of it.
Yeah, it's like out of every surprise, Jillian Hall is one of those names that just does not come to mind. So it's like she came out, it's like, oh, okay, all right, I'm here for this. This is good.
Yeah, because it's been a while since like her name has been tossed around for anything. And it's like, that's what I thought, because I just looked it up. She had a kid last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, that's why her name didn't, like, register at first to like being a surprising name. It's like, because I knew she just had a kid. It's like, oh, so it was about a young 10 months. That's pretty good.
It's great for her.
And then she made friends with Billy Kay, Jillian Billy.
It was so cute. and then things got complicated for Billy because Ruby Riott came out. And then the And then the next surprise, Victoria came out, which she looks phenomenally good.
1 year later, because the backstory with her was last year when they were in Houston and they were doing the test rehearsals of the entrance things, they had a graphic for her play. And everyone was like, wait, Victoria's going to be in the Royal Rumble? Because everyone believed it because MVP's was also played. And they, so it was like, MVP's play is like, is Victoria's playing? No, Victoria's didn't actually, she didn't actually appear last year. She was going to the Joker Cruise. I think maybe they were trying to get her and, you know.
It didn't work out.
It didn't work out. But it was cool to see her. I mean, she was one of the, I would say, first few guests we've had on this show. Thanks, Matt. MBGFilmsYouTube.com. He put us in touch with her and we had her on the show. It was fantastic.
It's nice to see someone like her and really Jillian get to participate in something like this because, and we'll keep saying it until eventually we don't have to say it anymore, which is probably never, but women from that era didn't even have the possibility of something like this. And Victoria especially was someone who really, really, really busted her ass to improve and get better and learn how to wrestle and learn how to perform. I mean, I don't think people realize that Victoria came into WWE as one of Godfather's hoes.
She did.
And then she worked her way up through the women's division, and I think she was a champion in WWE.
She was a multi-time champion in WWE, yeah.
But she never really got to wrestle the way that I feel like she wanted to or perform that the way that she wanted to.
She was in that awkward era where she was, they were coming out of the Attitude Era where they were not really wrestling, and then her and Trish and Lita sort of like pushed things forward and brought wrestling to a forefront in WWE, which then transferred more into the Divas era. And like, so she was in that mid period where they were wrestling, weren't given a lot of time, but they were wrestling before the Divas era came in and stuff like that. So she had to deal with both sides of the coin, and she handled everything. Like, she did the comedy spots, she did the serious spots. Her original theme tattoo was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
All the things she said from Tattoo. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. But, I mean, it was wonderful to see her. It was wonderful to see Jillian Hall. And then, for poor Billy coming all the way back around, her ex-wife, Peyton Royce, shows up.
So it's like it's a big family reunion.
Except Billy, Jilly, Ruby, and Peyton. Billy can't decide who to side with. Like, she tries to side with Jillian Hall, and Jillian Hall gets eliminated. And then she tries to side with Ruby, and poor Peyton's trying to get to Billy. She can't get to her. We did have an Iconics moment, like, okay. One single Iconics moment in this match.
It was almost an Iconics moment. So they do this double kick thing to Victoria, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Peyton's ready? Iconics! And she, in mid-Iconic, Ruby's staring a hole in Peyton, in Billy Kay's face. Like,
Awkward. It's like, just put them back together, please.
It's high school, so she doesn't know what table to sit at.
It's so weird.
She wants to be accepted by her new friends, but her old friend's right there.
It's like, it's so easy. It's just right there. So eventually, well, Billy got eliminated. And Peyton's face when Billy got eliminated was like, my wife! No!
And she was eliminated. Billy Kay was eliminated by, both the Riot Squads, yeah.
Yeah, they both threw her out. They had enough of a crap, so they both threw her out.
Yeah, because Liv came in at number 13, but at number 12 was surprising Santana Garrett.
Haven't seen her in a long time. I think she was she hurt?
I don't think, like, here's the weird thing about COVID. Yes, I brought up COVID. There were a couple girls who were pushed up, but never, like, they got stuck on the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was one of the girls who got stuck on the elevator. She graduated from NXT, but never made it to the main roster because Vanessa Bourne's on that same elevator, just stuck.
Yeah.
That they didn't move forward, as it were. But it was cool to see her in the Rumble. Liv Morgan came out, and then things started to ramp up just a little bit.
We got a little serious because Rhea Ripley made her way to the Royal Rumble.
She stormed to the ring like a boss.
By the way, it's at this point that I noticed, and I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, that it was literally the punks versus the femmes.
Yeah, she did make that comment as we were watching it.
Like the really, really girly girls versus the punks. That's what this was. Because it's like you have half the girls dressed like that one way or another. Like there were no tweeners. It was really interesting to see. And it was like most of the punk girls were actually the NXT girls. There were like one or two, like basically Ruby and Liv.
Yeah, that's basically it, yeah.
We're repping for WWE, but everybody else was like, or for SmackDown, but everybody else was NXT for the punks. It was kind of funny.
So Rhea's in there, and she gets a good friend of a couple of people early, and like her and Tony just went right out at each other because...
Give me that match.
It's Rhea and Tony. They have all the history in the world.
Give me that match one more time. Give it to me.
And then came out Charlotte Flair.
The clear favorite to win.
The number one pick. Everyone's choice for the Royal Rumble, Charlotte Flair. And, you know, now we're getting serious. You have Rhea and Charlotte in the ring. You have Bianca still in the ring. I think Bayley was still in there for a little bit longer, but not much.
You still had a lot of people that were in the ring at this point when Charlotte came out, because Charlotte and Rhea and Shayna kind of cleared people out a little bit.
A little bit.
After this point, but you still had quite a few people in the ring.
You then had Dana Brooke, and then it was nice to see Tori Wilson back again in the ring. And then there was Lacey Evans.
Ugh.
Do you want to talk about her now, or you want to wait till the tag match?
Let's wait till the tag match.
Okay. And then we had Mickey James.
Always good to see Mickey. Always nice to see her back in wrestling and in the Rumble.
Okay. That was the strangest gear she's ever worn. I'm just going to flat out say it.
I'm not sure what was going on there. I really don't know. Like, she was in basically a latex jumpsuit, and I'm not sure what was going on there, but you know, mom made a fashion choice and go her. I don't know what else to say. Up next was Nikki Cross. Alicia Fox made her return to the Royal Rumble, and well, she had some shenanigans because, well, she was on the rabbit hunt with R-Truth.
And
R-Truth and gang stormed the ring as they were on their rabbit hunt, and well, Alicia Fox took advantage and she won the 24/7 title.
First title change in a Royal Rumble match, I think? Because I don't think the hardcore title ever changed in the match.
I don't think so. And then R-Truth very promptly got his title back, and Alicia Fox and the others gave chase as R-Truth kept running. Okay, I'm going to be completely honest. I wasn't really sure about this right here. I don't think it was entirely necessary. Like, it made for a moment, and I guess that was the point of it, but...
Okay, so I'm going to pose two things to you.
Hmm.
That moment we saw this year or Santina last year?
Honestly, Santino.
Okay.
Because at least, like, I get that it is Santino Marella in drag. Like, I understand that. But at least Santina being in the match and getting eliminated by Beth was, like, a moment. Because there's history there.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to have Alicia win the 24/7 title, that's completely cool. Do it. I'm just not sure doing it in the Royal Rumble in the middle of it is, like, the best thing. Because it kind of, like, brought the match to a standstill.
So that segment would have worked better in the men's match.
Yeah, than the women's. Because it's literally you have R-Truth and a bunch of men run to the ring and you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, Santina got rid of herself last year.
Yeah, but you still had the moment between Santina and Beth, which is great.
All right, so we had a couple others. Mandy Rose.
Brent's favorite, Dakota Kai.
Dakota Kai, who about a year or so ago turned on her best friend, Tegan Knox. They had a rematch on Up, Up, Down, Down in a video game.
By the way, props to
Tegan. Yeah. Want to talk about her now really quick?
Tegan got so excited when Kane showed up in the Rumble.
Yeah.
It was so sweet. She's out here repping Kane fangirls. Yeah, Carmella make her appearance in the Rumble Reginald.
Which was very brief. She barely was in the ring. Reginald held her most of the time.
He caught her from getting her feet put on the ground, and well, eventually Rhea Ripley just sort of took care of business there.
Yeah.
We had Tamina show up, which created an awkward moment between Nia and Shayna Baszler, because it's like, well, who do you pick? Do you pick your tag partner or you pick your family?
So, all right. So, I want to talk about that really quick. Tamina entrant at number 25. So, she battled Natty for number 30, and she got 25.
I mean...
It really wasn't like... You would think, oh, they're battling, so one would get a worse number. 25 is not that bad of a number. She still won out in the end. It wasn't like a heartbreaking defeat. I'm 25. Oh, I'm not like 5 or 7. Okay. It was just, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, continue.
Lana made her long-awaited return to the Rumble, where she had her moment in the sun. She eliminated Nia Jax and got her revenge on the Bully.
Yeah, yeah. But before Nia got in the ring, you had a little Miss Bliss in 27, who was in full gear this time.
She's in full gear, and every woman in this match that was left has watched the horror movie and understands how to survive the horror movie, because Alexa got in that ring, and about 10 women jumped on top of her.
So they jumped on top of her, and then the horror music starts, and Rhea's like, nope, come here. And then she just chucked her over the top rope.
And got her out of there.
Before the transition could happen.
She interrupted her mid-transition, which we're not supposed to do. That's against the rules. But she did it anyway. She laughed about it.
Yep. She cut her off as she was getting there.
Coming in at 28 was Ember Moon.
That was a nice surprise.
Coming in at 29 was Nia Jax. And then number 30 was Miss Natalya. So just to kind of go over who eliminated who, Bayley was eliminated by Bianca, Naomi was eliminated by Nia and Shayna, Billie Kay was eliminated by the Riot Squad, Shotzi was eliminated by Shayna, Shayna was eliminated by Nia, which made things awkward.
Yeah, a little bit.
Tony was eliminated by Rhea, so hopefully we see more flirting going on there. Jillian Hall was eliminated by Billie Kay when Billie turned on her, Ruby was eliminated by Bayley, Victoria was eliminated by Shayna, Peyton was eliminated by Charlotte. Santana was eliminated by Rhea. Liv was eliminated by Peyton. Rhea was eliminated by Bianca, which honestly, if you want to do a feud between those two, y'all go on right on ahead. Charlotte Flair was eliminated by Bianca and Rhea, who were the final three. Dana was eliminated by Rhea. Tori was eliminated by Lacey. Lacey was eliminated by Shayna. Thank you, Shayna. Mickey was eliminated by Lacey. Nikki was eliminated by Carmella, her one and only Elim. Alicia Fox was eliminated technically by Dana Brooke, although I think she kind of also eliminated herself with the whole 24/7 stuff. I don't know. Rhea then eliminated Mandy Rose, Dakota Kai, Carmella, and Shayna's face. When Dakota got eliminated, she was like, babe, no! It was so cute! It was just so, so cute. Anyway, Tamina was eliminated by Nia and Shayna. Lana eliminated Natty. Alexa was eliminated by Rhea, which we just said. Ember Moon was eliminated by Nia. Nia was eliminated by Lana. And Natty was eliminated by your winner of the 2021 Royal Rumble, Bianca Belair.
Let's talk about Bianca for a moment. She had
First of all.
Big props. So, Bianca and Naomi had a moment where Naomi was eliminated, but her feet are still hanging up, so her feet didn't get touched the ground. So she hooks them in the thing, and Bianca's in the ropes too, and they both help each other back into the ring.
It was so sweet.
And then later, when after Charlotte's eliminated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bianca and Rhea are on the ring apron, and they look at, and Rhea and Bianca like exchange a look. Rhea's like, "Let's just back up. Don't do anything stupid."
Friendly.
They had that. They shared the look. It's like, we'll settle this 1v1. We'll crank our 90s. We'll settle this in the ring like two women. We'll box fight. But yeah, they had a moment. It's like, yeah, let's settle this like women in the middle. No funny business on the ring apron.
Yeah, I like that. For the most part, the Rumble was fairly respectful. Like, people weren't cheating. People weren't trying to use nefarious means. There wasn't anybody in the women's rump match like there was last year where somebody was laid out and then they came in at the last minute. So I like that they did all that, that it was fair, like, you know, basically, okay, you know, the Bianca and Naomi spot and the Rhea and Bianca spot, where it's like, okay, we're just going to get in the ring, mm-hmm. okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. Like, I appreciate that they did all of that, so that was really, really good. But I love that they have Bianca win. I think everybody would have been fine with Bianca or with Rhea. That's a take your pick on that one, because they're both just so, so good. And don't get me wrong, I think Rhea is going to absolutely have her time in the sun. But they've been sleeping on Bianca for a long while now. And it's about time they strap that rocket to her and send her to the moon, because damn, she's got everything they need.
By God, they're building stars.
They actually use the Rumble to put over a young talent. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it?
Suck it, internet.
And I also love that, as I recall, we called these two.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Yeah.
I mean, I will not lie, and I don't mean this to be negative, when Charlotte got eliminated, I was like, yeah!
It's like Roman Reigns, like, yeah! They're not gonna win it.
Because, don't get me wrong, Charlotte is a wonderful, talented wrestler, but I'm just a little tired of her being in every title match and winning all the accolades. It's like, she doesn't need to win a Rumble for the second time.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to be in the title match at WrestleMania, even though she probably will be. Let somebody else have it that isn't one of the Four Horsewomen. Because it's like, Charlotte's won it, Becky's won it, and...
That's it.
Sasha's won it.
No,
Sasha has won. I'm sorry. Nope. Sasha came close. But it's like, give me someone else outside of the Horsewomen that hasn't won it, especially if it's not Charlotte. Because she won the inaugural, right?
No, she won last year.
She won last year?
Asuka won the first. Becky won second. Charlotte won third.
Yeah, now, she doesn't need back-to-back.
Now Bianca has the fourth.
She's the first African-American woman. The first African-American, I believe, to win the Rumble.
Yeah.
So congratulations to her. Definitely well-deserved. And she gave a wonderful emotional speech afterwards about what this meant to her. She was in tears. She's going to WrestleMania, baby. Who she's going to pick, we don't know. But she's going to WrestleMania. So let's rewind a little bit. Let's go back. Let's talk about it. The pre-show. It was the tag team title. Women's tag team title were on the line as Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler faced Charlotte and Asuka for the titles. And no surprise to anybody, Charlotte and Asuka lost. This was mainly due to interference by Lacey Evans and Ric Flair. When Lacey used either pocket stand or brass knucks, I'm not sure which.
Brass knucks.
To knock Charlotte out and allow Nia to pick up the victory. I hate this storyline. And I don't mean to use that strongly, but I hate.
So it was described on the, Raw Talk?
Mm-hmm.
What the storyline is. It's Ric Flair is guiding Lacey Evans because Charlotte refuses his advice. And it's Ric Flair. He's a 16-time world champion. And he has all this advice to give. Very understandable. But the way they portray it is completely different on television than what the story is meant to be.
The fact that we're this far into it and they had to give that explanation because clearly nobody's picking up on the fact that Charlotte is refusing Rick's advice. And so Rick is getting back at her by mentoring Lacey Evans is really, really sad because what it looks like is that Rick has betrayed his daughter because he wants to bang Lacey Evans. And now Lacey and Rick are getting their revenge on Charlotte because they can. It's like the Al Wilson storyline all over again. So I feel really, really sad that they had to explain it on Raw Talk. But no offense to Rick. I'm sure he has wonderful advice, but your daughter's a multi-time champion. She could retire tomorrow, and she's already had a Hall of Fame career. So...
That is an actual fact.
I think she's okay. Like, I think she's good. I mean, I appreciate it that you're her dad and you want to give her advice, and absolutely, that is your right as a parent. But at the same time, I think she's okay. I think she's doing good right now. You know, she's at the top of the women's division. She's probably going to win the title again here in the next 2 years. I think she's fine. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if she's not a double-digit champion by the time she retires. So, you know, just saying. Maybe she doesn't really need your advice.
So here's my problem with the match. The finish. The overbooked finish.
Oh my God.
So you mentioned how it was breast knocks at the end, right? But it's like there was a first time interference with it. It's like one interference is all you needed. You didn't need two.
Yeah, you didn't need to have Lacey break up the figure eight and grab Charlotte and pull her out of it. And then Rick brings over the brass knucks and hits her in the and then Lacey hits her in the face with it. It's like, why didn't Lacey just have the brass knucks? Why did Rick have to give them to her? Why didn't she just have them?
You didn't need the double finish.
It was a little much, but yeah, again,
it was just way too, it was overbooked. It was just very gimmicky. And it's like, you don't need that in the situation. I understand they were trying to protect Charlotte and, you know, have her not lose clean. But it's like, it just felt too much. It probably looked good on paper, but execution wise, I was like.
Well, again, you could have done the dirty finish. Like you could have, but it's like, why didn't Lacey have the knucks? Like, why did she have to grab Charlotte? And then she's just awkwardly on the outside. It's like, one, why didn't the ref throw her out then and there?
Yeah.
And two, because the ref saw her do it. And two, again, why did Rick have to give them to her? She should have just had them. It's like if you just had her punch Charlotte in the face and knock Charlotte out when the ref and everybody isn't looking.
Or if you wanted Rick to do the hand spot, do it as they're walking to the ring.
Yeah, where he hands her the brass knucks.
Yeah, but it was like, no, we're going to do this little interference, and then, oh, a minute later, here's more, and boom, brass knucks to the face, knocks out Charlotte, so now I can drop the leg, brother, and get the win.
Which I like, by the way, that Charlotte just laid there. She didn't even sell it. She just laid there.
No, you don't. Yeah, she did. You don't blame the lockdown. It has nothing to do with the lockdown. It was just a poorly thought up finish, in terms of okay, this is how we want to do it, and I can see the positives on it. I can totally see it. But it was like because they were trying to protect Charlotte. Like the more interference, the better it is to protect her. But it's like it was just too gimmicky in my mind.
Yeah, it could have been simplified and it would have been fine. Like, again, just Lacey just punching Charlotte in the face with the brass knuckles would have been equally as effective as the double interference.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're saying. But the match was fine. Nia and Shayna are your new women's tag team champions, so yay.
Yay!
But things were awkward between them because, you know, Rumble.
The Rumble, yeah, everything that happened. The Rumble. Things still are a little tense between the two women, but they'll probably...
They'll figure it out. They'll work it out.
They'll work it out, or, for sure.
Or they'll break up. Moving on.
I like that. They'll work it out or they'll break up. I mean, those are the two options. I mean,
I don't know what else to say. Like, it's just, they'll either break up or they won't.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, okay, maybe they will. Maybe they will. Who knows? Who knows? Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And, well, including possible that the WWE Championship opened this pay-per-view. It was the very first match after the pre-show. I think they wanted to get it out of the way. I have no idea. But you had Drew McIntyre take on Old Man Goldberg, and I'm calling him that because he had shorts on. He didn't have his little spanky shorts. Oh, no. He had, like, the Brock Lesnar
Samoa
style.
Joe. It was a mix between Brock and Joe's style of shorts. So we've evolved from tights to shorts.
I guess he wanted to be comfortable.
I guess he probably looked in the mirror and went, maybe tights are not the best idea in 2021. Things may have been a little too tight for old Goldberg.
You got to be comfortable. You got to support the boys. You got to make sure everybody's okay down there. You know, I respect it, but he had his little shorty shorts on.
So it's Goldberg comes to the ring and the big security entrance because all the fans will jump him in the building.
It's an empty building.
But you gotta stick to the gimmick, no matter what. Gotta stick to the gimmick.
Do you? I mean, do you? Is that entirely necessary?
Hey, it's not a completely empty building. People backstage could jump him.
Who? Who's going to jump Goldberg?
I mean, R-Truth could have bumped into him.
He could have.
He was hunting Rabbit. He could have found the Goldberg instead. You never know.
Also, why didn't R-Truth find Ramblin? He was hunting Rabbit.
Because Ramblin is not living at the moment.
Poor Ramblin'.
So it's Goldberg and Drew, and right out of the gate, before the match even starts, Drew hits a spear, because, you know, the move Drew McIntyre is famous for is the spear. I mean, I know these awesome Drew McIntyre spear moments.
I have no right to criticize that, you know, a wrestling move, because I do not know how to perform wrestling moves.
No, it's not even how it was done.
No. Let me finish. Go ahead. That being said, Drew, honey, more shoulder. You can tell he did not play American football like because that. The guys that use the spear are typically the ones that either play like football or rugby or some kind of impact sport, because the ones that throw it really, really well were football players. You know that, and you can tell that because they just drive in with their shoulder. Because
they had those heavy bags. So they fight on the outside. Goldberg spears Drew through the barricade. So they get some action like they do with Brock and Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
Where they fought before the match. And then they get in the ring. Everyone's charged up on their WWE 2K20. All finishers are locked and loaded. Signature's ready. 100% ready to hit them. Spear, 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 spear. All the spears.
Claymore kicks.
All the Claymore kicks. Drew McIntyre, Goldberg kicked out the Claymore kick, which had people go, okay. So, yeah. In the end, Goldberg lay down for Drew McIntyre. And the sigh of relief on the internet was like,
oh thank God.
Yeah. Everyone was so joyful. Like, oh God, yes, he did it. Finally.
I have never felt so relieved in my entire life and never so happy to be wrong as I was Sunday. Oh God. I was just picturing the possibilities and it's like, well, there are worse things. There's been worse things. But yeah, this was not as bad as it could have been.
It was 2.5 minutes bell to bell, sans the brawling on the outside.
They kept it relatively simple, which I appreciate and I respect. The jackhammer was not pretty. God.
At least he got him up and turned him, but it could end badly.
I'm just going to request this, that the last few times that Goldberg's taken that move for a spin, it has not gone well. He dropped Taker on his head. He almost dropped Bray
on his head. Yeah.
And he barely got Drew up. I'm just going to throw this out there that maybe Goldberg doesn't do the jackhammer anymore.
But he needs
I have no right to say that.
He needs a second move.
You can teach him another second move that doesn't involve him picking somebody up. Because, like, here's the thing. That move's already been almost been catastrophic, like, 2 or 3 times now. Eventually, it's going to turn catastrophic. That or you find him someone smaller to work with that he can pick up. That's the other side of that. But yeah, the jackhammer wasn't as bad as it could have been. They kept it simple. And in the end, Drew wins. This is where I get bitter and pissy because, sure, Goldberg has to cuck the Fiend, who was the hottest thing going in WWE at the time that he beat him. I don't care what you say about, you know, oh, I'm not the booker. No. We have receipts, sir, on what happened there, supposedly. And so Goldberg lays down for Drew, and then he gives Drew the full-on respect, shakes his hand, pats his back, they hug. I'm like, where the hell was this last year? Like, wait, so you're basically saying that, like, Drew McIntyre's stronger than the Fiend? Yeah. First Roman Reigns, now Drew McIntyre?
Yes.
I'm just confused. I'm so confused. But yeah, very happy to be wrong on that match.
I think both of us were.
Yes.
So that was the first half of the Rumble. There's more to come.
There is more to come, but we're going to take a quick break. So everybody, go grab a drink, go grab a snack, go do what you need to do, because we will be back. And when we come back, we are going to be talking the back half of the Rumble. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
We'll be right back!
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f*** moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ha!
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern. on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
WWE Superstar Natalya, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch and have a free Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it on this channel for free. All you have to do is literally click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and subscribe for free. It's that simple, even with the flubs. And if you want to follow the channel the regular way or just hang out and chat, that's fine too. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And we are back with the second half of the Rumble. Just as a quick programming note, in case you missed the first part of the show, there will be no Fortnite with friends tonight because we are going long, guys. And if you just, you know, if you just tuned in and you missed the first part of the Rumble, well, you can listen to that on the VOD or on the podcast when it's available right after the show or tomorrow, depending on which one you want to listen to. So with that, let's dive back in.
Let's dive back into a Royal Rumble review presented by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And we're going to kick it off with the SmackDown Women's Championship, Sasha Banks and Carmella. Let's first start with Sasha Banks.
She looked good.
Talk about her Louis Vuitton look.
All right, look, mom just rolled up looking like $1 million, like the star that, you know, she is, because she's got that Mandalorian money now.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm here.
I'm all for it.
It also doesn't hurt that your husband is a seamster and he can make you literally whatever
you
want.
Just get the fabric and he's good.
And he's really, really talented. So props to Sasha's husband, Mikaze. Beautiful work, as always. It was great. Carmella showed up in all red, looking fierce and fine, channeling her inner Victoria's Secret angel. I'm just going to say this. Her entrance is so weird to me.
It's very weird.
Because the way that they shoot it is they upshoot her as she's dancing behind the curtain. So even though she's facing forward, it looks like she's facing backwards. It's really, really weird. I'm not sure I like it. It actually kind of bothers me a little bit. Not that that impacts anything, but like it just absolutely 100% bothers me that behind the curtain she's facing forward, and then but when you see her dancing through the curtain, she looks like she's backwards because of the way that she's, I guess, stacked. I don't know. But yeah, we had Carmella come out with Reginald, and they took off for the title. And this was a better showing than what we've seen in the past, I think, from last month between Sasha and Carmella.
I would say they're both about the same. I like last month's match. I thought this was pretty good as well. They have good chemistry with one another. They're both willing to work and work pretty aggressive with each other. Like, I know there's some stuff with Carmella where she doesn't want to get hit and stuff at times, but, like, when she's in the ring with Sasha, she goes for it. And I like that about it. The one thing, the one issue with this match. So, Carmella tossed Sasha out of the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Reginald caught her. So, and then they're following up on from the angle, like, you know, he's flirting with her or whatever. And then she does the head scissors, takes him down, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ref then ejects Reginald from the ringside. As all that happens, Carmella then dives through the ropes and just suicide dives. Tope suicida. Through the rope onto Sasha. But Carmella, poor Carmella, who choreographed is doing fine, just smacked her face on the ground.
Yeah, she kind of face planted a little bit. It was awkward.
It's not Cody Rhodes level where he face plants and cuts himself open. she just face planted, but she was okay, so that's...
Yeah, it's good to know that she's okay and she did not hurt herself, but yeah, it was not a grace, what I would term graceful moment for her at all in this match.
It is not a screw-up, it's not anything, it's just, it's wrestling, it's not ballet, it's just hard impact. You, like, she did the move as you're supposed to do it. It's just sometimes you catch more of the mat than body.
And that's okay.
That's okay. It's just, that's why they have protective mats at ringside. Stuff happens. We pay tribute to Eddie with the Three Amigos, where you had two of them, and then we came back for the third, like, 3 minutes later.
So, well, you know, he was stuck in traffic.
The Amigo was running late, trying to catch a cab. Carmella, Sasha went for the frog splash. Carmella got her knees up. She put in her, what's it called? Code of Silence, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to take down Sasha. But it was not to be, but a bank statement in the end, making Carmella tap out. Pretty good match. The finish felt a little flat because, like, they felt like they were just, like, going. I thought they could have gone another couple more minutes and would have peaked a little higher, but it was fine.
Again, this was a great effort by both women. I feel a little bit bad for Carmella because this is now her second or third loss to Sasha.
Second.
But you had the whole thing with Reginald. And so I don't see them going for another match between the two. I just don't feel like you can at this point. I think you need to rebuild Carmella back up a little bit before you have her try again. But, you know, that can be simply done in the chamber.
That's what I was going to say. The women will probably get a chamber, so she'll probably get thrown in there. Maybe if it's a SmackDown thing. If it is a SmackDown thing, we'll see.
We'll see. But yeah, a solid showing from both women. But in the end, Sasha Banks retains the SmackDown Women's Championship, and she moves on to fight another day. Speaking of fighting another day, the WWE Universal Championship was on the line in a last man standing match as Roman Reigns took on Kevin Owens. Very suspicious in their absence would be one Jey Uso or Jimmy Uso.
It's Jey. Yeah.
And Apollo Crews.
Well, Apollo Crews isn't really a part of the group. He just had one conversation with Roman.
But, you know, when you need backup, you need backup.
You need backup. So this started off like your normal thing, and then, like, they're fighting, okay, whatever. And then it got good when they started brawling. They start brawling around ringside, they brawl through the crowd, quote unquote. And I'm sitting here watching with Lindsay, and I'm going like, Kevin, Roman, don't break the screens. They're very expensive. You do not want to break one of them screens, because Vince will kill you if you break one of the crowd monitors.
Y'all, don't break the equipment. You can break the stage, but don't break the equipment.
Don't break the fans. We cannot.
Break the TV. It's all we have.
It's all we have right now. Do not do it. So they brawled around there. They did some stuff up there, and then they brawled around backstage, and then we got to see the entire Thunderdome setup behind the scenes in the Tropicana Field, where they have all the production stuff. You see the secondary ring where they do the interviews and stuff backstage. Lindsay's favorite, the spray paint table.
I was so excited because back behind the ring, you saw all the Money in the Bank ladders, including the super huge ladder that they use that one time for Big Show for TLC, and that was all there. And then it's like you get to see all the props, and one of the things that we always joke about with the ladders in particular is, you know, oh, some poor intern had to, like, stand outside and, like, spray paint all that shit so they could get it ready. And then there it is, the infamous spray paint table sitting in the back, randomly covered in spray paint and cardboard and everything else. And it's like, yeah, there it is. It's a spray paint table.
She popped hard for the spray paint table.
I was so excited about it because it's like, oh my God, it does exist. It's actually a thing.
It is a thing. So you can also tell between the ladders which ones are the gimmick ladders and which ones are the real ladders because they're different colors. They use them both.
One hurt more than the others.
One completely hurt more than the others. And, you know, because... Okay. It's so weird, right? They're fighting backstage. And as they're fighting backstage, there's this random announce table set up.
It's got to be like a spare, or they have it there for... just match purposes or something. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure if they're bringing stuff in for Mania and they're just having it there for Mania, or if they're bringing it in for another pay-per-view, or what they're doing, but there was an extra announce table there, I guess, in case they need it. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it was fully set up.
Yeah, that was the thing. They have them all there because they're in the trucks, because they've had Spanish announce tables, the French, and when they had the announce table row, they would have them all there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back when there was crowds. But it was weird. It was like they had one set up backstage. It's like, that was weird, and of course it's there, so you gotta go through it, which they did
with authority.
With authority, yeah.
I mean, they made sure that that table broke and everything was fine with it, that there were no problems. But yeah, they went through it with authority, and then here's the real bone of contention in this match is Kevin is wandering around backstage after they just go to the back. Roman is nowhere to be found, and then all of a sudden there's Roman with a golf cart, and there's Kevin flying over the golf cart because Roman hit him with a golf cart. And the internet was in an uproar because they're like, oh my god, they copied the spot from someone else. Oh my god.
Oh my god, they did the AEW spot. Oh my god, guys. They did the AEW spot where Matt Hardy was driving with the things chasing down Sammy Guevara. Oh my god, they ran him over just like they did.
And then I had to laugh because the next day, Tommy Dreamer gets on Twitter and he's like, guys, I invented it. It's my spot. Chill.
Which he stole from Memphis.
Yeah.
Or wherever.
Which I stole.
Which he stole. And then, you know, it was stolen again by Raven and Kane, Big Show at the 17 WrestleMania, where they had the golf cart spot too.
I think Raven hit Big Show, as I recall.
Yeah, Raven.
Or was it Kane?
Raven hit one of them with it because it was the triple threat hardcore match.
Yeah, and they were all at one point tooling around on a golf cart. It was great.
It was great.
And then it moves on down the line. Now, the other spot that was interesting that they did maybe kind of copy just a little bit was the spot where Kevin jumps off the forklift, where basically Kevin's got Roman on a table. He raises the forklift. And for a second there, I'm like, no, it's last man standing. Pin him with the forklift. Pin him with the forklift. You could win the title. People have done it before. Just put the forklift on top of his chest and he can't get up. But no, that's not what happened. Kevin raises the forklift up. He gets on top of it. And then he either said, my dad sends his best or something like that to Roman, kisses his knuckles, or his grandfather's initials, which is a nice touch, and jumps on top of Roman, breaking the spray paint table.
Yeah, he did the senton from the pallet. It was cool.
It was a nice spot. It was a good spot.
Yeah, it was a really cool spot. So meanwhile, as we battle around, Kevin's bleeding, I believe.
Kevin's bleeding. Roman's bleeding. That, or they have spray paint on him.
It was Roman who was bleeding from his face. A little bit. So as they're walking backstage and Lindsay goes, don't show Vince. One, he wasn't there. Two, they were going through a gorilla. They conveniently went to a replay.
Yeah, as they're walking through gorilla to get to the other side, it's like, there's people back there we shouldn't see. Cover them up. Don't ruin the surprise. Because again, this match was weirdly placed. It was between the two rumbles.
It was right before the men's Royal Rumble.
So it was like after the women's, before the men's, but it was like, it was just really weirdly placed. So they probably had people up there for the men's Rumble that you weren't supposed to see. And then things took a weird turn, because as we go back out into the crowd, in quotations,
by the stage, we went through the set a little bit. So that was
like
fun,
you do.
Which I never fixed. And then two, we then fighting up by the stage, and we brought out some handcuffs. And you know, Owens hits the stunner and then has the handcuffs, and then he handcuffs Roman to the lighting rig. And it's like, okay, cool. So you're going 6, 7, 8, 9, and then Roman shove the referee into the light, and down goes the referee. All right. That's a nice way. So it's like, you almost had the false finish. It was a good false finish, because it was like, it was really close to, he could have said 10 and we would have a new champion for a little while. Wow. But no, he shoved them into the light. Okay.
I mean, that's a good way to get out of it.
Roman then low blows Kevin. Okay.
Okay.
But Roman's down. And as all this is happening, the referee starts a count and Paul Heyman runs out to unlock Roman from the handcuffs. And to basically figure out what happened was, Heyman couldn't stick it in.
I mean, I do take some solace in the fact that Paul Heyman does not know how to unlock handcuffs in 10 seconds or less. I mean, I feel like that's a good thing to know. But at the same time,
He had a hard time finding what hole to stick it into.
He couldn't get the key in the hole because it's probably very hard to see where the hole was.
It was flipped the opposite way. So he couldn't stick it in where it needed to be. It was turned around the wrong way. And so the referee is counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
He's not counting. He went to get fucking coffee at one point, I think. Because that's how long this took.
No, he stopped at 5. And that's
to go
it.
Get coffee.
To go get coffee.
Yeah, and then it's like they keep awkwardly panning like back over and you see the ref just like standing there watching.
Yeah.
And it's like, can somebody just pass them some bolt cutters or something? Like, I feel like this would be easier than trying to get the handcuffs off. Because Heyman could not get the handcuffs off. Roman couldn't do it. And it's like, they stopped the count. And I don't know if they came through the referee's headset and told him to stop the count.
Yeah, they did.
Because, like, they can't get the handcuffs off. But this is where you have bolt cutters. I'm with a lot of people on this. You should have just cut the chain and had Roman get up or have Roman at least get on his feet while they're trying to figure this out. Because he did eventually do that. He did get to his feet, but he was like squatting.
But he was up off the ground. That's all you have to be. You don't have, like, you can squat. It's fine.
And then the whole time Kevin's like laying there.
See, that wasn't even laying. He was like staggering around just trying to, like, okay, this would have been a lot worse. If they were fans, this is the one time where it's like you can get away with it because the camera doesn't have to point to Kevin. Kevin could have just been standing there looking.
Kevin could have gone and gotten the bolt cutters.
He really could have, as it all happened because there was no crowd. You just don't cut back, but he had to kept, you know, he had to like do something if they cut to him. So it's like okay, but eventually Roman choked out Kevin and retained the title. But oh god, this the. It turned what was a really good last man standing fight to a really awkward, with an awkward finish. It just, yeah.
It's kind of anticlimactic, I'm going to be real. Like, it was actually a really, really good match. I very much enjoyed it right up until the choke out. And then I was like, really? That's how you're going to do it? You're just going to choke him out? I mean, to be fair, that's an absolutely legit way to do it. But it's like, you can't, like, handcuff him to something while you're doing it, or I mean,
like,
you know,
like the way the finish should have been was the low blow and then get quickly got out of the handcuffs to choke him out, but you wait 3-4 minutes and it just seemed weird.
Yeah, it didn't go right because the handcuffs got placed wrong. But overall, very enjoyable match, best showing for Roman to date that I've seen. Kevin makes a good dance partner for his character, because Kevin kind of pushes his character a little bit in ways that other people don't.
Yeah, yeah, he does. So this was a good title match. So before this matchup took place, we had another title change.
Excuse me.
Peter Rosenberg won the 24/7 championship, which Cole then screamed. Or Graves, one of them screamed, David Arquette now off the hook. I wouldn't go that far. But Peter Rosenberg won the low blow to R-Truth, pinned him up, and won it. Okay. And then he would then lose it on his radio show. Go ahead.
You would think somebody that's been around wrestlers that long would know how to do a proper roll-up. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. But, okay. I know a lot of people don't like this title belt. It's not a serious belt.
No. It was never meant to be serious.
It was, one, it was never meant to be serious. And two, it is the perfect belt for celebrities. The name sucks. The 24/7 championship sucks. It should be like the legend title, the celebrity title, whatever it is. Give it a different name, it would mean more. So like... like, I know it's 24/7, it can be defended every time. You can still have the rule with it being named something else. But it's like, you can give it to Peter Rosenberg. Alicia Fox can win it. Anyone can win it. It would be okay. Like, when Rob Gronkowski won it. Like, it's for that. It's like, I think people need to look at it and go, you gotta take away the seriousness of pro wrestling. And look at it as the entertainment side. You go and, okay, we'll go with, we'll take Fox for example, right? You go... You have R-Truth that whatever, say Fox had the Super Bowl this year, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine Terry Bradshaw wins the 24/7 championship. For him, that's a cool moment because he's an old school wrestler and he wins the championship. or a football player wins the championship, a basketball player wins the championship. It's cool for them because that's not their sport. But the wrestling fans, like, they win a championship. It's cool. It's a meaningless title, but to someone who wins it outside of the wrestling world, it's really cool. Like, for Peter Rosenberg, that when they said, hey, you're winning that belt tonight, he probably was ecstatic.
Oh, he was thrilled. You know he was thrilled, because he's like, oh my god, I won, I won. And we're all sitting here going, run, you idiot, run.
Pretty much, that is what she screamed.
It seems that you can put it anywhere, pretty much, except for maybe in the middle of the Women's Royal Rumble. And it lightens the mood. It kind of brings the crowd back. That's really what it's meant to be, is this sort of mental break from all the serious that's going on. Especially when the fact that you're going from, like, a last man standing match to a Men's Royal Rumble. And you have to kind of mentally reset a little bit. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Because then it just, like, shifts your focus. It breaks your focus. And you're like, oh, okay, haha, yay, Peter Rosenberg won. Woo, go him! And then, you know, you go into the Men's Rumble. Like, I wholeheartedly appreciate this. 100%.
Yeah.
And it's a nice little spot. No offense to everybody involved. It's like, if you need to go to the bathroom, or you need to grab something to drink, or you need to go get a snack or anything like that, you can go do it.
Yeah.
Because it's that moment when you can get up. Although they did stick a snack break earlier in the show, and I appreciate that.
There was a 23-minute break.
I mean, you know, go them.
Also, there was a Bad Bunny concert.
There was a Bad Bunny concert where Booker T came out in the video look.
His G.I. Bro look.
And, you know, stand there and looked badass as fuck while Bad Bunny danced around him. And, you know, the song... Again, the song was awkwardly placed because I feel like it could have gone between the two Rumbles.
Yeah, that's where I thought I was going to go. I was like, oh... Because it could have fit in that 23-minute break, which it didn't. It was before the Rumble, first Rumble, which is fine.
It was good.
Because you're getting everyone in place, and it played a factor later, as we'll get into.
And since then, Bad Bunny has been a part of the product. He was on Raw, and it looks like he's probably going to WrestleMania, which I'm fine with. He seems to really enjoy it. And he's full sending going for it, so props to him. Because we saw him a little bit later in the night too.
Like he had
for the Men's Rumble.
He had an interaction before the Men's Rumble with Miz and Morrison backstage, so that'll lead into the Rumble, as we're getting into it right now.
That's right. So coming in at number one, those strains of Alter Bridge played over the arena, and we saw Edge enter.
Followed by
Randy Orton. And I'm just going to say this. One, I appreciate you had these two fight, because Edge was like, I'm not having any of your shit today. I'm not waiting 20 years for you to walk your ass to this ring. Adam Copeland marched himself back up that ramp, tackled Randy Orton, drug him to the ring, where the two of them proceeded to fight for 2 minutes. And then very awkwardly, Sami Zayn came out in the middle of this fight. And this is the point where I'm like, you know, there's two rings, right? Like, you could just have Randy and Edge fight, and you just set up a little mini cam, and then you put the Rumble in the second ring in the back, and you just have them fight in the back, and then whoever wins between Randy and Edge, once they're finally done killing each other, they could just go into the Rumble. Because that's what it was. Like, Randy and Edge just kept, like, going for each other, as they should, because that's still unresolved. Until they finally got interrupted, because it's like, Sammy got in the middle of it, but didn't. And then Mustafa Ali decided he was going to get himself some.
But I want to stop right there for a moment. On the Edge-Randy stuff. One, as we mentioned earlier, Randy was supposed to be number one, Edge is number two. So I just thought about it as you were talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes through my head. So they tape backstage on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they, you know, probably on the sheet it was Edge was number one and Randy was number two. And we talked about how they did rehearsals on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Where they put together the show. And they probably went, oh, well, you know what would be cool? Edge chases down Randy. But no one told the producers of the Fox show, hey...
We're changing the script.
We changed the script around, which was already a change where it was first. It was supposed to be the first two women that were supposed to be announced, and the men's number 30 was going to be announced. So one, they flipped it from what they said on Monday to what aired on Saturday was completely different. And then by Sunday, it was already changed. It just, when you watch all the television, you notice all these things they do. That's all.
We see you, WWE.
We see what you're doing. We follow you on social. We see you putting things out. Thank you very much. Anyway.
We know what you're up to. Jeff Hardy came out at number 5, followed by Dolph Ziggler. Shinsuke Nakamura was lucky number 7, and then the first surprise of the night, which, by the way, my number, lucky number 8, had both surprises. He's cool. He's crispy. He loves apples. Carlito is back in WWE, and he entered the Rumble. Woods was up next, and Woods went right for Mustafa Ali.
All right, I want to pause. We're going to put in a complete pause and transition for a moment, because number 10 was Big E. Right there is a big pause. So earlier in the night, we're backstage, and you have Woods, E, and Kofi backstage, and they're talking, right? Mm-hmm. But whatever they were talking about doesn't really matter. It's what they were wearing.
Oh my God, that was a kick to the feels.
That needs a shout out.
Like their merch or their gear guy went over the top on this. It looks so good. They had Brody Lee tribute gear, where it was a combination of Luke Harper and Brody Lee. They had pictures of Brody on their gear. They had the flannel. They had the Dark Order look.
They had the Bludgeon
and the
look.
Bludgeon it, Brothers. Yeah.
Big E had Luke on his boots as well.
They had matching jackets. It just was so, so sweet and just a really huge kick to the feels. They made his wife cry.
She was happy with it, and like they're like the three best guys because, you know. Okay, so let's talk about it really quick. Everyone gave WWE crap about tributes. Watching three of his best friends come out at the Royal Rumble with gear dedicated to him, I mean, that's a fantastic tribute. On top of that, they're auctioning off the gear to raise money for a charity in Rochester, his hometown, for a food bank or something along those lines, a food kitchen, something like that. I don't remember the exact details. It's on Big E's Twitter. But them going all the way, doing that, auctioning it off. Like, I saw one piece of gear. It's like the first day they put it out. It was already up to $2,100.
That's awesome.
And it was just one piece of the gear, because they were auctioning each piece off on its own. I was like, that's so freaking cool. They're great dudes.
Yeah. And they all love him so, so much. So it's very, very sweet that they did that for him and that they're going to donate the money to the charity. So bless. Huge, huge kick to the feels.
Yeah.
So
you said Woods went after Mustafa Ali.
Yes. Yes, he did. And well, Mustafa Ali kind of had to deal with Woods, E, and Kofi, who made his surprise return at the Rumble. They cut a promo backstage.
Mm-hmm.
Teasing Mustafa that, well, you know, Mustafa may have taken Kofi's spot, but Kofi's going to get his revenge. And, well, Woods has evened out the numbers. And Retribution, well, they might be in some trouble. And they certainly were, because Woods went for Mustafa Ali, along with Big E. Except, well, poor Big E, he had to watch his best friend get eliminated. And E was having none of that. And in fact, he decided to get his revenge on Mustafa and eliminate him.
He did. So we had John Morrison in this match, Ricochet, which was so Ricochet probably was never originally scheduled. I believe he took Jey Uso's spot in this match. Just called Hunt or Keith Lee, one of the two. Because they did matches on Raw where like he lost to AJ, so he wasn't in. He was trying to earn his spot, and he just ended up in it because numbers. Mm-hmm. Then you had Elias, who really didn't make much of an impact in this match. But making an impact was number 14, Damian Priest.
I just want to talk about this whole look. This white knight in shining armor look he had going on. I'm here for it. I'm digging it. I'm down with this. He looked phenomenal. He had a great run in the Rumble. He looked like a superstar. And honestly, I'm digging Damian Priest and Baron Corbin fighting at some point. The Evil King versus the White Knight. Do it. Do it! But yeah, this Damian Priest, the long-awaited debut of him onto the main roster, and he's got high things expected for him, because he is assisting Bad Bunny in Bad Bunny's efforts with one Miz and Morrison.
He is. Miz came out next, and when he came out, he went right for Bad Bunny's setup, because Lindsay kept mentioning, is it still set up?
Yeah, like I was like, they left it set up and I'm like, why is it still out there? Is somebody going to go through it or something? Because it's like, I watched the Kevin Roman match and it's like, no, they're not going near it. They're not touching it. You know, they're going to make some poor intern put all the LED strips back on. But they didn't touch Bad Bunny's setup, and then Miz comes out. Oh, that was the other thing we forgot to mention during the Kevin Roman match. You can see the Money in the Bank briefcase sitting right there.
Yeah.
So Miz comes out with his briefcase and he beats up Bad Bunny's setup. And well, Bad Bunny was having none of that. And he came out, and after Miz and Morrison were eliminated, Damian Priest helped Bad Bunny take a dive off the top turnbuckle onto Miz and Morrison.
That's how you do it, Snoop.
That's how you do it. They taught him how to do it. Even though it looks like he messed it up a little bit and he kind of landed on his ribs weird, he hit it.
He flew. He actually flew. He didn't just sort of fall.
He went for it, man. He went for it.
So Damian came in 14, Miz came in 15. So it's at this point in the match, things, like Edge is still in there. We should mention Randy got injured, in quotations, and had to be helped back early in this match. So he was gone. But Edge is being the Iron Man in this match. And then you go, and Edge is in this match, right? I'm going to keep going to point this. Edge is still in there. And we go, okay. Start with 14, like, Edge and Damian. I like that match. And then number 16 is Matt Riddle going. And they had some interactions going. Okay, I want that.
No, I know what I want. Matt Riddle and Daniel Bryan.
Number 17, I want that too.
Like, holy crap. They got to... Bryan and Riddle got into it a couple times in this match, and they were just kicking the shit out of each
other. Their chest, from slaps and kicks to the chest, were beat red.
Like, damn, y'all. Damn. And then at number 18, the huge kick to the feels. A big, burny, fiery kick. Kane, the mayor of Knoxville.
Lindsay screams so hard.
I popped so hard because it's like, oh my god, it's Kane!
It's gotta be Kane! And then he's in his gear again. It's like, oh, Glenn.
He tried. Because I wasn't expecting him. He's so busy marrying these days that, you know, it's like, oh, he's not gonna appear. Like, I just don't even count on him anymore. But we had the long-awaited Team Hell No reunion where Bryan was so excited because there's Kane. And Bryan's like, hug me, brother. Hug me. I've missed you. And Kane's like, oh, crap, he's here.
I can't get away from him. I thought I went and became mayor. I didn't have to deal with him anymore. And okay, fine. They hug. Yay! Chucks him.
Yeah. So, which is pretty par for the course for them. Like, you know, they get the hug in, and then, you know, Bryan gets chokeslammed for his trouble. So, that's, you know, that's Kane.
That's why they're Team Hell No.
Yeah, that's why they're Team Hell No.
One note on Kane, really quick. He was a last-minute call.
You could tell.
Yeah.
That's okay, though. That's fine.
Because
we all love him.
Because people had to be removed, so they, you know, they needed a big body.
Glenn!
And boy, is it a big body now.
And just as another note, Kane is actually donating his earnings to a local Knoxville charity.
Yes.
Which is very sweet of him. He's not keeping the money. Which is what he tends to do whenever he has to wrestle his mayors. He doesn't keep the money. He gives it away.
He takes his whatever the pay for that day would be, and he gives it away. Which is the right thing to do, because he's not... Like, that's what he's doing. He's earning money for his constituencies. Like, he's pouring it back into his city. So it's like,
he's giving back to the community.
Yeah,
quite literally.
He really is. So when he went to Saudi, he gave that money away too. So it's like, that's a smart move, because it's like, in reality, it's like a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, he has to do something positive with it to, like, showcase, okay, I'm going to be my alter ego, the professional wrestler, but I also am the mayor. So it's like, I have to, like, balancing out somewhere, and he does a good job at it.
And also, they announced that he had gotten COVID tested before he went. When he was there, he wore a mask the whole time, not the Kane mask, an actual like COVID mask, and social distance and everything. And then he got tested when he came back, so
everything's good.
He's good to go there. Coming in at 19 was King Corbin, followed by Otis. Dominic Mysterio.
Okay, can I say this is my biggest disappointment?
That we got no Mysterio moment?
Yeah, I'm sad, because Ray came in later, and it's like they checked Dominic out before Ray even got there.
It's very rude.
It was sad.
Up next, Bobby Lashley entered the ring. Our next surprise, the Hurricane.
So they tried to recreate the big Rumble moment he had years and years ago with Austin and Hunter.
I think so. Yeah.
With like in 2001, 2002, where he tried to like chokeslam him and everything, and he messed with two big guys, and messing with big guys was not a smart plan, and he sort of got destroyed by Big E and Lashley, who sort of went head to head and toe to toe in this man too.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad pairing to have roll around for a little while. And then the biggest surprise of the night that nobody expected, not in a million years, because again, he's retired. He's medically retired, but damn if that door doesn't swing both ways. Y'all, he's back. It's Christian.
Just close your eyes.
Just close your eyes.
And
the look on Edge's face.
It's like, oh, my boy's back.
No, Edge was like, shit's about to get real now.
Yeah, and they came in the ring and they shared a loving embrace.
And we all cried.
That was awesome. So, the stuff about Christian, it's like, so was it late or mid last year, he does an angle on Raw where he's supposed to have a match with Randy Orton, but the match really never happened and he just gets punted in the head. And it's like, okay, he really didn't take a bump, so he, like, you can't. Nothing really happened. So it's like, okay, so when you're back around, you're not thinking Christian anymore, because, like, if he was going to come back and they did the angle with him, it's like, okay. But then again, you should think, oh, wait. They started the process. Like, they got him clear to go do that. At least move around in the ring physically. So to him, it's like, okay, I seen Edge come back. He had neck stuff, and then Brian came back with the concussions, and it's like, the hard work he put in to probably pass all the tests. Because it's been 7 years. 7 years.
That's insane.
Since it was, 2014? Like, was that Raw? Right around Raw 1000, I think? No, 2012 was Raw 1000, I think. Anyway, it's been a while.
His last match was like a tag match, and then he very quietly retired.
Yeah. Where he was, it's not even retired. He was medically disqualified. And that's the worst way to go out. It's like, you're medically unclear. You're not medically clear to retire. To wrestle anymore, I should say. So cool to see him back. And it's like, you've heard, like, Edge has done interviews since the Rumble. And it's like, Edge and Christian reunion tour is a possibility.
And we're all here for it.
So, the next person, it was AJ Styles, who didn't do much. Wonder why? His boy was just pulling people out of the ring. Omos
was like a game changer. He got like two eliminations on his own.
Just he pulled Big E out, he pulled Ray out. Just yoink.
Just plucked them right from the ring. And he caught AJ multiple times to make sure he didn't get eliminated.
Yeah.
But in the end, Omos was not enough, and AJ did not win the Rumble. Coming in at 26 was Rey Mysterio. Coming in at 27 was Sheamus. 28 was Cesaro. 29, making his long-awaited return from paternity leave, is one Seth Rollins.
Messiah Seth Rollins.
And for some, the most gratifying moment in the match was when the Messiah eliminated Matt Riddle by curb-stomping him on the ring apron.
Yeah. So, one, what was that jacket?
I didn't mind it. Like, it was orange with the fur, and he had the matching
gear. It was red. It wasn't orange.
It was like a red-orange. It came off to me as orange.
It was very red. To the point where people found it on Amazon.
There you go.
They found the jacket on Amazon.
Like you do. Hey, look. When you need to make fashion choices, where do you go first? You go to Amazon.
Because they can get it to you really quick with Amazon Prime. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen like Lindsay did at the top of the show.
Because he's a hoe. And then coming in at number 30.
It was a great tie-in. One hoe to another.
There you go. Braun Strowman making his return to the WWE. He came back looking jacked and fit as fuck.
He reappeared on SmackDown and went, oh, hi, Braun. Welcome back.
Yeah, he looks great. So just going in the order, Sami Zayn was eliminated, or actually, I should say Big E. Let's do this simplified. Eliminated Sami Zayn, Mustafa Ali, the Hurricane, and I think that's it.
He helped with Lashley, too.
He did help with Lashley, yeah. Dolph Ziggler eliminated Jeff Hardy. Kane got Dolph Ziggler. Shinsuke Nakamura was eliminated by King Corbin. Carlito was eliminated by Elias, Xavier Woods.
Which set up the match on Raw between Carlito and Jeff Hardy and Elias and Jackson Riker.
Yep. Mustafa Ali got Xavier Woods, which then Mustafa got the favor return by Big E. Omos got Big E and Rey Mysterio. Damian Priest had a really good showing in this match. Like we said, he eliminated multiple people, including John Morrison, Elias, Kane had like nothing but nice things to say about Damian.
Yeah.
Which is so sweet of him. Ricochet was eliminated by Kane. Damian Priest finally got taken out by Bobby Lashley. Seth Rollins got a couple of eliminations, including Matt Riddle, Daniel Bryan, and one Braun Strowman. So that'll set things up nicely for him on SmackDown. And he got Christian. King Corbin got eliminated by Dominic Mysterio. So, you know, there's a little...
The feud continues there.
Or I should say, actually, Corbin eliminated Dominic. So the feud continues. And then Otis got eliminated by...
No, Dominic got rid of Corbin. You had it right the first time.
I had it right the first time? Okay. I was reading weird. Anyway, Otis got eliminated by Corbin. Bobby Lashley got rid of... Or Dominic got rid of Bobby Lashley.
No, you read it.
I'm reading it backward. Why am I reading? Because it's late. That's why it's late. Anyway, Dominic got eliminated by Bobby Lashley. Christian, Big E, Edge, and Matt Riddle got rid of Bobby Lashley. Lashley and Big E got rid of Hurricane, like I said. Christian, I already talked about. And then Braun got rid of AJ, Sheamus, Cesaro.
Seth Rollins got rid of Braun.
And then Edge got rid of Seth, and we think, that was it. What's going on?
That was it. It was Seth and Edge. Oh, my God. Edge won. Edge wins.
There was no bell.
There was no music.
Because there's one person left. He's been in the med area this entire time, having a nice breather.
He was in the med bay doing vitals.
And, well, he's not sus at all. He vented to the ring, and there's one, Randy Orton.
He hit the RKO. And then goes to chuck Edge right out of the ring. And Edge reverses. And out goes Randy Orton. So your winner, the Rated R Superstar Edge.
He goes bell to bell in at number one, which he's never done. And a lot of people were happy about this, but a lot of people are upset about this.
Gosh darn it. Gee willikers, they're not pushing younger talent. By God, Edge wins the Rumble. How dare they? I'm going to go on the internet and complain that Edge won the Rumble when you're all super excited about Edge winning, being returning. And oh my God, Edge is back. It's awesome. But golly gee, Edge wins. Why did it make him push a young guy? Oh my God, this match was full of old men. God, why can't WWE build new stars? Internet, shut up. Shut up. Like, internet, shut your mouths. Stop looking up people's ages. Your boy Sting is 60-something. Comment the down.
They need that big name marquee match. And here's the thing.
They're on Peacock now. They need marquee matches.
The one guy that they kind of counted on for that retired. The Undertaker isn't going to be around this year at WrestleMania, as far as we're aware.
Nor is John Cena.
He's stuck in Vancouver shooting. So you need someone to be in that marquee match to put that big name on the card to help draw in fans. And they bring in the part-timers in part to draw in the more casual, possibly long-term fans that, hey, oh, look, it's Edge, or oh, look, it's this person. And they tune in to see their favorite, you know, past performer. But also going bell to bell after making his return in the Rumble, I should add. After being gone for, what, almost a year?
He was gone since June, yeah. Since 7 months.
Due to a bicep tear. I think it's pretty damn impressive, considering the fact that Edge is, what, in his 50s?
He's 49 years old.
Yeah, he's almost 50 years old. He went bell to bell.
He went 60 minutes.
That's pretty damn impressive, and he did a hell of a job. He carried the whole time. Plus, he was in there directing traffic. He was in there telling people what to do, how to run the match, or what to do in the match, that kind of thing. He helped with the pacing. He helped with everything. So he was in there working and doing his job. I personally don't have a problem with Edge winning. Could you have given it to a younger guy? Yes, absolutely. You could have given it to anybody else in this match and it would have been completely fine. Edge going bell to bell though creates some intriguing options because it's like he could go for, I don't know,
Roman Reigns.
Or Finn Balor.
Or as we saw last night, Finn Balor. Let's talk about that really quick.
Jesus Christ, I want that.
He showed up in NXT. Oh my God, the ratings, whatever. Who cares? Ratings don't mean anything. Linear eyeballs. Hashtag linear eyeballs. Another internet thing. So Edge is on it and he's cutting this promo on NXT and he's putting over Pete Dunne and Pete Dunne looks at him and just shrugs at him like, Pete. And Edge's response was like, yeah, I would have done that too 10 years ago, kid. Yeah.
Peter. You say thank you to your Uncle Adam.
So he's hyping them both up. He hypes up Finn and is like, you go, okay, I'm cool with seeing Edge and Pete Dunne make that happen. Edge and Finn? Yeah, give it to me. And that's where all the age stuff came in a little bit too. Like, oh, imagine two old guys fighting for the developmental title. Gee golly. Stop one with the developmental title stuff. It's not. It's a third brand. The developmental program is NXT with the Performance Center, but anyway, that's another point. Then the third thing we saw was Karrion Kross and Edge and went, check, let's go.
Oh my God, yes, let's go.
The one thing I loved about that was Karrion was in the ring in gear and then 2-3 minutes later he's full dressed up backstage in the parking lot with Edge. And you go, who was it, Malcolm Bivens or whatever? Blevins? Mm-hmm. Malcolm Blevins on Twitter. He warned Edge about the parking lot and then Edge is in the parking lot. You go, that's not good, Edge. Don't be in the parking lot and then Karrion shut up.
Don't stay there too long. He'll take you out. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of intriguing things that you can do with Edge. And Edge has already committed that he's like, I'm going to be here for the next 3 months till WrestleMania at the very least. And even after Mania, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him on a pretty regular or frequent basis. He may not be wrestling all the time, but I think he's full sync committed to the product in terms of being able to work.
Will he take a month off? Probably. But here's the thing with him. He's not taking a month off. He may not be on TV. He's working for the company. He's part of the creative process. He's like has influence there. It's like he's not doing anything. Like he just goes home and does nothing. These 7 months, he's been involved. Like it's not like he's gone away. He's been involved. He's not like another part time. He's not Brock who goes away and hunts. Edge is around. Edge has influence. He came back with a purpose. He's trying to improve the company. He's not here just to cash and get a paycheck and do the greatest hits. Like, he's going to be committed. Whatever storyline he's in, whether it's for the world title WrestleMania or a blood feud with Randy Orton, he's committed to doing the story. Like, when he came back, and Randy took him out. Like, they took him out because it told the story. It wasn't like he didn't appear. He took him out for the story. They're telling stories. It's what they do.
There's so many ways that you can use Edge to build new talent and build young talent. It's unreal what he's going to be able to do. So again, Edge winning the Rumble, he can go to WrestleMania and he can face any of the three champions that he wants. Nobody says that he's going to win, but it would be a huge feather in all three of their caps to put Edge down at Mania. Also, Edge is your champion. Say he does manage to beat Roman, he does manage to beat Drew, or he does manage to beat Finn. That would be something. Again, Edge is a very credible champion. Do I want to see him as the champion of NXT? Probably not. But if you want to put it on him for a week or two and then you put it back, okay, that's fine. Just to give it to him, just to say that he's had it.
Because he said on TV, he's like, this place right here, NXT, reinvigorated my love for wrestling. The W word, not the E, the W. And that's something I've never had. And he pointed right at the belt.
Like, that wasn't around when I was here, and I would like to have it, please.
When I was here, NXT was that goofy show on sci-fi.
Right? But I mean, it's just what you're going to be able to do with Edge and what he's going to do for that company is just insane. And I can't wait to see it. And just enjoy it, y'all. Just sit back and enjoy it. Enjoy Edge because this is a gift. And I think that's what people don't understand is like he came back. He wrestled Randy last year and we thought that was a gift, right? Where we got a couple matches out of him and then he got hurt. And then it's like he could have easily said, well, you know, yeah, I had my return match. I proved I can do it. Had a great feud with Randy. I think I'm good. I think I'm done. He could have re-retired, but he didn't. He rehabbed, he got better, and he came back. And he came back with a vengeance and a purpose. So, you know what? We need to view this as a gift and enjoy it. Please enjoy it.
And, like, he wants things. He wants to work with Christian and do tag stuff, like with New Day and a bunch of others. Like, there's so much that can be happening. It just enjoy it. Stop complaining. God, internet, just...
Chill.
Chill. Like, I understand the other companies working with every other company in the world, brother. But, like, WWE's doing good things, too. That's being seen by more people, despite your ratings on a Wednesday. Saying. Anyway. I could rant, but I shouldn't.
Save it for Saturday.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, but, we got numbers. I have numbers to read off.
All right, well, read off your numbers.
8-Ball went 2-2. Lynn's Ward went 2-4.
Hey!
The Wheel went 3-3. I went 4-2, and I picked both Rumble winners. Ha ha.
I do have to laugh that we, like, got it down to, like, the final two, I think, in both Rumbles.
Hold on, I'll look. You had for the Rumble.
I had Rhea.
You had Rhea, I had Bianca. For the men's, I had Edge, you had Rollins, so you had the third.
Yeah, we didn't anticipate Randy lasting that long.
Yeah, because we had other thoughts of what would happen, but that the Fiend never showed.
Yeah, that's the other interesting thing of note. There was no visible sign of the Fiend anywhere. Same thing with on Raw. We did have Alexa and Randy interact a little bit on Monday, but we are on countdown for when the Fiend makes his long anticipated debut or re-debut or return or whatever you want to call it, because we don't know what we're getting at this point. We don't know what he's going to be. He could be anything, and that's terrifying. But get Bray Wyatt back on my TV, please. I miss him.
Pretty much. Okay. And with that, we're done the Rumble. Really quick.
Okay.
But there's one other little note in our rundown we need to address.
One other note?
Yeah. This Sunday, it's the big game. Who's winning?
That's right. Here in the United States, it is the Super Bowl, where the NFC is taking on the AFC for the title in American football. And it is the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know. I have a theory that Brady's going to go all the way and insta-retire, because, like, here's the thing. This is, the Super Bowl is in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is in its hometown playing in the Super Bowl. Never been done before.
Never been done.
But they're there and they're playing. They have Tom Brady at the helm, and then coming in is the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes at the helm. The last time these two teams met, the Chiefs spanked the Bucks. Hard. Don't know who's going to win, because a driven Brady is dangerous.
It is. The best story of the week is the haircut story.
Yeah, that everybody was getting cleaned up for the big game. And, well, they were testing the barber, and oops, he tested positive for COVID, and they had to quarantine, like, four people.
Two people. They quarantined two people. There was, like, a list of 20 other people that he had to go through to cut hair. So he had a busy day ahead of him, and he was on the second person. They had to stop him mid-cut. I think they stopped him mid-cut, but the dude, since he was already there and doing it, they finished.
Yeah, it's like he's already been exposed. What's it gonna hurt?
Another 2 minutes is not gonna hurt, the little trimming.
Although I had to laugh because the dude that was getting the haircut, like, posted his profile pic, and it's like a half shaven head.
Well done.
That was great.
I think the Chiefs end up winning, because I'm an Andy Reid guy, so I'm pulling for the Chiefs on Sunday. I don't have the heart to pull for Tom Brady, because it's Tom Brady, and who wants that?
It's such a story, though. Like, it's such a Cinderella story that Tom Brady leaves the Patriots and he takes the Buccaneers to their very first Super Bowl in his first year there in their hometown, and he wins.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's such like a movie story. That's what every kid fantasizes about to a T. And honestly, I don't want to root for Brady. I don't want to cheer for Brady, but I just have this hunch, unless he just royally just doesn't have it on Sunday, that he's possibly walking out of there, because out of anybody, he's got the most Super Bowl experience. He's been there. Also, he's done that. He's got rings to prove it.
The one thing that will play a factor is the weather, because it's supposedly going to rain.
Well, he can play in all kinds of weather, which, you know, I have to talk to the announcers about that, because he was up in Green Bay, and they were like, oh, I don't know if Brady can play in the cold. He played a fucking Foxborough for years. He can handle cold. He's been to Green Bay before. He knows what it's like.
Oh, the best ones. He can't play in the cold. And number two, oh my God, he has to deal with fans. Not like he's a rookie. God, it's Tom Brady.
No offense to John Elway, and who's the one that calls with him?
It wasn't John Elway. It was Tony Romo, wasn't it?
No, it was Elway.
It's Troy Aikman and Joe Buck.
Thank you, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. No offense to them, but can y'all, like, tone down the bias just, like, a smidge? Like, just a smidge.
No, they don't. Never.
Like, damn, y'all. Just damn. But, yeah, I want the Chiefs to win, but I think the Bucks are going to win.
Yeah.
Just for the record, in case anybody is keeping track, Tim the Tap Man put money on the Chiefs and is rooting for the Bucks.
He's the curse.
He is the curse, so we'll see if the curse plays a factor. But yeah. Who you got for winning the Super Bowl? Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Replicate Radio Show, at Lens Ward, and tell us who you think is winning the big game. But with that, I think we're done.
We are done. As a reminder, it is now midnight. There is no Fortnite with friends. It will return Saturday. Speaking of Saturday, another edition of CB Radio. We'll get you geared up for the big game with expert NFL picks, the Intern's Corner, a Greater Than Great Debate, and more Saturday night, midnight at SuperLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, there is no show. Russell Talk Radio is preempted until the 21st. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday to preview NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day. Yeah. We'll have the intern to help preview the show. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's the Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also support the channel by using code ROCKANDSOCK in the Fortnite item shop or the Epic Game Store. There's plenty of new games like Hitman 3 out. You can go buy it, use the code through the Epic Store. Be awesome. Do the thing where you buy all new fancy skins in the Fortnite Battle Royales. Join the Fortnite crew. Use the code. Go to RocketSock. #ad. Epic Runner.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsport, LANSWARD. And don't forget to also check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.